don't understand what the problem is here.
With Carmichael Dave, Katie Christensen, and Nate Goodyear.
New morning, team.
Put the top down. Rev your engine.
Say, what goes on this morning?
Welcome to the drive.
I don't know if I want to say, wow, I really respect that about you, or if I want to say, gosh, that is so stupid.
Come on, man. Wake the f*** up. The drive.
His mouth.
Here we go with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
That keg is almost tapped.
Yeah.
And they're going to get every last drop out of it.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios. Coors Light, with great beer comes great responsibility. Now the drive continues with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Also, 44-1140 for you. We had Pete Rose on just a few minutes ago, by the way, in about 45 minutes. We got four tickets for you to that Sacramento Sports Collector show this Saturday at McClellan Conference Center, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. We'll give you four tickets. You're the right caller. We'll do that in about 45 minutes. Again, get your tickets at sacsportsshow.com. By the way, bonus, I'll buy it off you. If somebody gets a card signed all-time home run king from Pete Rose.
You know, Dave, I'm curious, what has the reaction been?
Oh, the reaction's been great. It's been great. Like on Twitter, for example, people are saying it's like they're giving me condolences.
R.I.P. Dave.
Dave, we love you. You'll come back. You'll recover. Even my dad, who talks so much garbage on a regular basis to me, my dad's like the Gary Payton of dads, who will just text me throughout the show. Even my dad couldn't mess with me. He's like, son, you did just fine. You did exactly what you should have done. Wear it, own it. This too shall pass. From the 707.
You're okay, buddy.
You'll be okay. You want to talk? You want to talk, buddy? From the 707, best KHDK moment since Nate's coverage of the Kentucky Derby.
Mm-hmm. I'd say so.
From the 916.
Or my interview with the guy that was not John Solomon.
That wasn't your fault. You were told by your producer that it was somebody else coming on that was.
And I had to wear it.
You did. And you wore it just fine. From the 916. And we talked about this yesterday after the show. Like, how could it have been worse? And really the only way it could have been worse, Dave, it wasn't that bad. You could have said none other than Hall of Famer Pete Rose. That would have been
so
worse.
True. Yeah.
That actually, but that's about it. That's,
and that's when we finished the interview. You're like, the only way it could have been worse
that's
is if
it.
I called him Hall of Famer.
That's the only way it could have been worse. Someone says, hey, I'm throwing my son's tee away. Hey, Pete Rose never hit off a tee. I thought that was really interesting. I get the whole video thing because you say, hey, we didn't have video back in the day. Let's see. Yeah. Oh, and a lot of people texting. Guys, I understand how you wouldn't believe us because I called him the home run king, which was an error, but the whole point of Nate saying Johnny Hustle, that's an old joke.
That's a joke, yeah.
I know. You got to be careful with the inside jokes. I'm sorry.
If you have to believe, if I'm going to own home run king, then you have to believe when you say we knew about the Charlie and Johnny Hustle thing. That's actually less egregious of a screw up than the all-time home run king. Yeah, that was bad. One of the guys that's going to be one of the guys. Come on. I mean, there's some people
the
that are going to be there, but the
this
guy.
The headline.
Yeah, hey, you know, none other than the home run king himself, Mr. Pete Rose. Pete, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing well today, and I appreciate that. But actually, Barry Bonds is
the home run king. I'm going to wear that for a long, long time.
You know, it's happened to all of us.
Has it?
Yeah.
Really?
I've had some weird stuff happen on the TV side, which is
it's called Bill Russell the all-time assist leader?
No.
No?
I mean, nothing that bad.
No, of course not.
Like once, we usually pre-record our interview at coming back from halftime with the assistant coach, and it was Chad Iske, and I like totally fumbled. No, you know what? It was Mike Inouye. It was a year before.
Sure.
Yeah, and I totally fumbled his name. And because we pre-recorded, I just immediately started over and went right back into it. And because of the turnaround and how quick it happened in the truck, they didn't edit out the beginning. So it aired, like both of them aired. And it's so funny. Like Grant is the best. Like he's always, his response was, that's ridiculous. That should never happen. That is totally not your fault. No, no, no. And I was like, yeah, I understand that stuff happens on live TV. And like, you know, fourth quarter is always like I have them clip plays and I'll do like a little bit of an analysis hit in the fourth quarter. And one time they had clipped the plays, but they ran the wrong video. And
that's fun.
So I'm talking about something, and the wrong highlights are running.
But again,
and
not
I
your
look
fault.
And sound like an idiot. But nobody knows that.
Sure.
Nobody knows
that. I always wonder if nobody knows that, because maybe it's just because we do it. Like, yeah. I remember that happening. And to me, it's obvious. And in that case, I'm going, oh, poor Katie got hung out to dry. Yeah. You know, it's obvious when, or because you even see it with studio shows, even like SportsCenter inside the NBA, they'll throw to a highlight and it's the wrong thing. Yeah. It's just like, that wasn't that
person's
fault.
I think it just depends on who it is. Like for in radio, for example, now we're really pulling back the curtain, but if all of a sudden like a commercial fired off right now, or if we go to the phones and the person's not there, 90% of the audience thinks it's because we as hosts are pressing we're pressing the wrong button, or we don't know how to use the phone or something. And a lot of kids, they just don't realize it's either an equipment failure, or we have no control over any of that stuff. You do have control over whether or not you call somebody the home run king. Like,
that's true.
Absolutely.
When she got hired, if you'd sat down with one of the all-time greatest women's basketball players ever, Betty Lieberman, then that would have been semi-comparable. Here's what we're following today.
I left that plastic on for a reason.
Warriors, Blazers, that series is done. Raptors, Heat, that series is not done. And we asked earlier if you were the Warriors and you're sitting in the Western Conference Finals waiting for your opponent, would you rather face the Spurs or would you rather face the Thunder? So there's that as they continue. And that's really the showcase playoff series remaining. Now, it really is a showcase playoff series so far, Spurs-Thunder right now. And I think a lot of that's because I think people are, I don't want to say shocked, but even for two people that picked the Thunder to beat the Spurs, Nate and you and I, I have no problems admitting part of me was like, dude, you can't just go chalk on the whole thing. And yes, I legitimately thought
that
the
was
Thunder,
part of it, right?
Right, but I didn't expect. Watching it unfold, I'm as shocked as anybody else. Go, my gosh, look at what the Thunder are doing.
Well, I think in this instance, right? I know this for sure. If there's another mess up with officiating tonight, it's just going to be a horrible tragedy in this series. There's been two pretty big ones. You know,
yeah,
the last game.
I look past those things. When I look at the Russell Westbrook one in the last game, yeah, and I think, boy, Spurs fans are really going to stew over that. But I'm trying to kind of process what Dave said, because I did the same thing where part of picking the Thunder was just out of, hey, it can't possibly go chalk the whole way. But I can't sit here and say, yeah, I picked them, but I'm surprised that they're up, because
Aren't you watching it, though, and kind of, maybe not surprised, Nate, but aren't it just actually seeing it?
I didn't expect Tim Duncan to have a bagel.
Yeah.
That's absolutely true. But, I've told you this, guys, this over and over. When it comes to playoffs, my thing is the star power and the top level of that. And that's ultimately what I come back to with the Thunder. So I can't say, even though the process, the journey may have been a little different than I expected, them being up 3-2 with those two guys, I'm not sure that Billy Donovan hasn't outcoached Greg Popovich to this point. Because after the first, I know that's crazy. Now listen to me though, because after that first game when they came out, they put Kawhi Leonard on Russell Westbrook. That was huge. It completely discombobulated the Thunder.
Sure.
They looked like they were toast. Since then, what adjustments has Greg Popovich made? I mean, I don't know that what has Billy Donovan done? Get more points out of Kevin Durant? But, I mean,
it kind of goes both ways.
But here we are. We're going to have game six tonight. And I don't know what the Spurs have done other than start the series with Kawhi Leonard on Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting tonight. Wow, that's right. Gosh, I love nights like this. You've got game six in OKC. You've got game seven, Shark. There's a lot of good
sports. Hockey game we actually care about.
That we actually do care about. We're going to hop on board, and hardcore hockey fans will be like, you can't watch. You're not allowed to watch, you bandwagoner.
Bandwagoner.
But it is interesting. And you say something like, Greg Popovich has been outcoached by Billy Donovan, and that's...
I know. At the very least, he's held his own, right?
I think so. We talked about earlier, I think he's been a great psychologist. I think his uses of timeouts has been fantastic in keeping the Thunder emotionally engaged.
The one thing that I've learned from this, and I've felt that it was coming for a long time, but I've been proven wrong over and over when it comes to the Spurs and their aging roster. After that first game, since that point, we have seen the mortality of this Spurs team and their roster, because you've got a bunch of guys that have just been amazing player. I mean, they're legit. Tim Duncan is a Hall of Famer.
He's the best power forward to ever play the game.
Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, those three together might be one of, if not the best, threesome in the entire NBA history. And what we're seeing is their time is limited. And it might be after the season that they had, they won a record number of games in the regular season, lost one time at home, and that happened at the very end of the season. The only time that it ever happened before was Boston, and that their first and only loss at home came in December, and they, you know, recovered after that. But to see them play this way in this series against the Thunder, it looks scary for the first time.
It's we're so used to seeing. I'm trying to get it right. We're so used to seeing the excellence of the Spurs, whether you're a fan or not of the Spurs. And by the way, they haven't won 10 championships in a row.
Right.
The Spurs have lost in the playoffs. They're not guaranteed, but you know, death taxes the Spurs. Everyone was waiting, much like last year. It was all about the Clippers and the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. We didn't get that. This year, it was a showdown between what everyone was told during the regular season, and I still believe this.
Oklahoma City was an also-ran for 82 games.
Yes. Oklahoma City was a team that the Sacramento Kings should have taken 3 of 4 from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They should have taken 3 of 4 from them. And you look at the Spurs, as you said, Katie, one home loss at the very, very end of the year. And if it wasn't for the Warriors, just take the Warriors out of existence this year. Sure. All anyone's talking about is the Spurs. And you could argue that the Spurs were, I don't want to say a better story than the Warriors, but if you were making that argument, your argument would center around the fact that they're doing it with a bunch of really old people. And LaMarcus Aldridge and Kawhi Leonard, that they just insist over talent.
Most of their roster gets the senior discount at hotels.
Yes, they absolutely do, and they still do it. And not to say they're not talented. Tony Parker still has a lot there. Mm-hmm. Danny Green is an assassin from behind the arc. And yes, you add in LaMarcus Aldridge and Kawhi Leonard. I'd like my team to be as lowly talented as the Spurs, but it's that plug-and-play method that Greg Popovich has established where they have that culture and they have their system, and it just... Damn it, it just works all the time. So that's what we're expecting to see. And Oklahoma City's coming in here. And the scary thing about that is you've got a team in Oklahoma City that has two of the top five players in the NBA, in my opinion, in Westbrook and Durant. And I feel like if the Warriors and Spurs play at the top of their game, the Warriors are going to win that series every single time. But if the Warriors play 80% of their game, and all of a sudden you have Oklahoma City, if they're peaking, if they're playing at the top, if they discovered the Holy Grail, this is a team I honestly...
I mean, it takes 45-footers from Steph to beat you.
Yes.
I'm with you on that, because these games so often come down to, again, trading buckets in the final minutes. And you know, when the Spurs were really, when they were a couple of years back, Tony Parker, Manu are kind of in their primes a little bit. You know, they would do the ball movement thing, but when it came down to it, one of those two guys would be running a pick and roll, and they would slice and dice you to death. Those guys, they aren't capable of carrying that load on a nightly basis in the playoffs anymore, and Kawhi Leonard's not ready yet to be that kind of pick-and-roll type of ball handler. He's still very effective, but he's not the kind of deadly that Manu or Tony Parker was when they were at their peak. And that's kind of the biggest negative that I'm seeing on this Spurs team right now. Where is that going to come to beat the Thunder two straight games? Where is that going to come to win four games in the Western Conference? For, what is it, eight? You got to win 10 more games if you want to win a title. Do they have enough crunch time buckets in them and enough crunch time star power to get that done?
We talked about it earlier, and you guys talked about it, and I'm like, I don't know if I can go that far. But the more I think about it, it is scary for Golden State to face Oklahoma City in the Western Conference Finals. They should prefer the Spurs, despite everything, the history of the Spurs, kind of how they play. I mean, Golden State struggled with the Spurs this season as well, one of the only teams that they truly struggled with throughout the course of the season. But, man, it's like Oklahoma City is scary right now.
You look at the remaining matchups, and there's actual real awesome drama going on. There's so many storylines. Number one to me, are we fooling ourselves, or really is this just Golden State? At the end of the year,
it's going to be a five-game series in the Western Conference Finals.
Is Golden State going to raise the trophy and look at Larry O'Brien, and we're just going to sit there and go, well, we kind of fooled ourselves into thinking other people had a chance. Cleveland hasn't, by the way, Cleveland hasn't lost a game yet.
Yeah.
They're just cruising in, and this is a Cleveland team that took the Warriors to six games last year without Kyrie Irving and without Kevin Love, and they're all healthy.
And they're playing extremely and different right now. It looks like a fully implemented offensive system change for them since the firing of David Blatt, which is kind of amazing because it's hard to really do that in the course of a season when you don't have practice time. But would we be talking about this if Steph Curry never hurt his knee and didn't have to sit out for a couple weeks? Because I think seeing the Warriors without them kind of made them look beatable.
Well, sure, they lost a game.
Yeah. But that's not completely rare in a 7-game series, you know, but...
No, but it still is with them. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think we kind of do that with teams every year. They blow through the regular season. Yeah. Like, oh, they pushed them to 7. But no, I think with the Warriors, that's actually kind of just losing a game in the playoffs. Like, we're just not used to that with them at all. How did this happen?
You're in trouble. Someone beat you.
So when you look at Cleveland, and I got into this argument earlier this year about Cleveland. It was a point during the season where LeBron was – he took a couple plays off or something. And the argument for me was you see this historically in the NBA. The Lakers are a great example in the 2000s where every year about midway through, Shaq and Kobe are taking time off. Shaq's not playing every day. The Lakers are cruising. They've lost 2 or 3 in a row to bad teams. Maybe this is the year. When you have perennial championship contending teams or players, I think that they tend to – they figure out at some point that they put it in neutral during the regular season at points, and they wait.
They play the long game.
They wait until the postseason, and then they – there's an old story that I probably shouldn't tell right now, but there's an old legend about Milton Berle. Do you know the story I'm talking about?
Just enough to win.
Exactly. Milton Berle used to have contests, legend. This is the legend that would have it on set with other guys where they would compare, let's just say, how tall they were.
Okay.
And Milton Berle would only reveal as much as he needed to win the contest. He would never reveal everything at once. And I think in a sense, when it comes to Cleveland, when it comes to the Lakers, when it comes to a lot of these perennial teams, they're only pulling out as much as they need to. They're not showing their entire hand. And I think in a sense...
Or in some cases, entire fist.
Thank you very much. And I think that's what LeBron's doing a little bit. And I could be wrong in reading too much into this, but we're talking about the Spurs and the Thunder and the Warriors.
Yeah, well, they've also been able to beat, you know, win out in series. So you're seeing less of them.
Seven-game
series.
And you're in the
difficult
Eastern Conference.
And you'll see if a series goes to 7 games, you'll see the adjustments that a coach will make to other adjustments that the other team has made, like who they put on someone, how they defend the pick and roll, how, you know, you'll see those. So by the time you get to the finals, period, you've seen about every trick that they have in their hat, or so you suppose. But you're right. Cleveland has been able to win out in all of their playoff series, both series so far. So it's like how many of the tricks out of their bag have they had to show?
Right. They haven't been challenged yet at all. And
I don't know.
Nobody,
that first round series against Detroit was pretty challenging.
Most challenging sweep I've ever seen.
And does anyone here think that the second that team gets challenged that we're not going to get 2, 3, 4 signature LeBron games left in this playoffs?
Sure.
I mean, it's going to happen. You know, this, especially the second they lose a game in the playoffs, we're going to have the 40-point, 12-rebound, 11-assist night from LeBron James. It's there. He damn near averaged a triple-double over the last 15 games of the season when he went into, what did he call it, 0 playoff 30 or something like that?
Yeah. Right.
Or playoff dark. Whatever that dumb thing is. I mean, he turned it up. His jump shot was betraying him early in the season. Over the last month and a half, he's shooting something like 60% from the field. LeBron is in cruise control right now, and they've won 8 straight games as a result. When they get challenged, he's going to turn it on, and we're going to say, where was this guy all year? He's still LeBron friggin' James.
I've got a hot take for you.
Hot take.
Do it.
If Cleveland can end up winning the title this season, David Blatt will never coach again in the NBA, and
what?
David Griffin will look like the smartest guy ever.
Never again, David.
But I think the thing is, David Griffin, when he made that decision to fire David Blatt, the NBA head coaches, that fraternity kind of jumped on that and how ridiculous that was. And everybody thought that was completely crazy. And it's like, oh, you know, LeBron is running the team, so on and so forth. If they are able to win. And Dave had made a good point earlier about they took it to six last year without Kyrie Irving. And he's
and Kevin
played,
Love.
And Kevin Love, you're right. And he's played extremely well, both of those two.
Yeah.
Kevin Love, is his numbers are way up. His usage,
he's fitting in for the first time since he came to Cleveland.
His usage is way up. He is playing really, really well for Cleveland. If they make it to the – if they make it, they're going to make it. I mean, they're –
sure.
Miami and Toronto are both on one
leg.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be funny if, like, Toronto wins the whole thing?
Yeah, I know. That'd be so funny. But you make it to the finals. You win the finals. You beat Golden State. Oh, yeah. David Griffin is going to look like the smartest man on the planet.
So here's my question. Here's my question. Just as pure fans, we have no dogs in this fight. Let's throw Miami and Toronto out, and if they come back and win, you can cold take me for the next 3 years along with Pete Rose. That's fine. Let's talk about the Thunder, Spurs, Warriors, and Cavs. As a fan, what would be the most enjoyable team to win a championship? We'll take a break. When we come back, who would you like to see win the title? We also have still to come in this program, by the way, Jack Del Rio speaking, coach of the Raiders, speaking on the possible move to Las Vegas. And we haven't even gotten to much of Max Scherzer's 20-strikeout game yesterday.
How does that compare?
And how does that compare to other sports?
That's a good conversation.
When we get back, who do you want to win the whole thing? 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Who would you enjoy seeing raise the Larry O'Brien trophy more than anyone else? It is The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. Hey, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Tell us of the four remaining realistic teams in hell. Throw in Toronto, Miami if you want. Who would you like to see? Who would you like as a fan? What interests you most in winning the whole entire thing? Katie?
Do you want this now?
Yeah, I want
all
give
right.
It
well, I don't know what you guys got going on Saturday, Dave, but I know
Dave.
What
I got the
Nate
Republic
and I are going to be doing. Yeah. Nate and I are going to be out at the new Ram Truck Center, Hoblet Dodge, mm-hmm. this Saturday from 11 to 2, 1990 Hayes Lane in Woodland. Of course, there's all kinds of fun stuff going on. You can win tickets to the Monterey Bay Aquarium, maybe dunk us in a dunk tank. I'm not really sure about that yet. I've got a bridal shower to go to after. We'll see. All the inventory on sale during the grand opening, including Dodge, Chargers, Jeeps, Chryslers, you name it. Hey, Nate, have you driven a Charger yet?
I have not.
Ooh.
They've been keeping me in the trucks. I got the Dodge Ram 2500 Power Wagon extended cab.
Man, 4x4. You want to get your hands on a Charger.
I do.
Bet. Yeah. Well, you can check it out. All the information is at hobletdodge.com. And hey, maybe Nate will leave in a Charger.
Maybe. Wet. 7 minutes from the airport in Woodland. Soaking wet in a Charger. Does that sound good to you?
I'll be hanging out with all time.
I don't know. It does it for me.
I'll be hanging out with all time sack leader Dan Marino on Saturday.
All time sack leader.
Coming over to hang out.
You're the all time sack leader.
Face. Speaking of Oklahoma City, Charles Barkley weighed in on the Thunder.
Of course.
And I muted my computer.
He
but
did.
Trust me, what he said, it was super, super awesome about the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Nobody has as good a team as Oklahoma City. It's just going to be a question whether they do anything stupid. And if you go back and look at the game, they've only did something stupid one game. If they can keep their mind together, they got a really good chance of winning the world championship.
Hey, you know, somebody brought it up on the text line. Text line's been very good at 44-11-40. We got to get some
good
of these in just a second. They really have. And somebody said, hey, listen, it's not like Oklahoma City has dominated the Spurs. There were some missed calls and some close mm-hmm. plays. This series could very easily either be over or have the Spurs on the verge of clinching as well. Some stats, by the way, you said Greg Popovich 2-10 in clinching road games.
In elimination games on the road.
Kevin Durant 31.6 points in elimination games as well. That's what he's averaging.
And that's like the third best in NBA history. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of, you can look at the stats. It's interesting. We had Sam Amick on the show the other day, and we talked a little bit about the officiating, and we all know not a lot of people want to write about and talk about officiating because it doesn't change anything. You can talk all you want about controversial calls and so on and so forth, but Sam actually wrote a pretty good article on that, what happened in Oklahoma City, or in that Oklahoma City Spurs game the other day, with the whole fouling Russell Westbrook mm-hmm. with, you know, Kawhi Leonard, and how that all played out. So take a look at that. It's one of those things. Officiating does affect the game. And it's just crazy. It gets highlighted. It happens all the time. It's not done on purpose. It's not done by design. This is not, you know, the Kings playoff series where people are still very, very upset and hurt about that. We had Chris Webber talking about that the other day.
Whoops, sorry, wrong button. Yeah, that was a...
But it affects it, and it's highlighted in the playoffs, especially in a seven-game, you know, series where you got two of the same teams, and it happens in two games. That really does change the outcome.
It does, but, you know, because that's a given, right? I mean, don't you... And this is kind of part of me reconciling as a fan for 15 years ago, but... Because that is a given, and no matter what the sport is, I mean, don't you just kind of go with it? Yeah, it's a crappy way to lose, but the only people that are going to remember that 10 years from now are Spurs fans.
Yeah.
And at least they have some rings in there, and, you know, at some point to kind of placate themselves. To me, that's just part of the game. You know, officials are going to make mistakes, whether, you know, there's nothing malicious involved. You just deal with it. And yeah, it stinks, but again, this is a given. They're never going to be perfect. Everyone's always going to be on the wrong end of some call. So,
you know,
forget
it. It's almost, you know, nobody wants to see mistakes made in terms of the officiating, but it's almost worth it just to see Gabrielle Union just go on a complete Twitter rant and just rip the officials. And I mean, she just, that's like one of the wives. You just need to put a sock in it. Like, put her in a straitjacket, take her phone away from her, and leave her at home, Dwayne.
Yeah, I would say that any significant other that is trying to chime in on, you know,
shut
their spouse's workplace, like,
except
that's
Brent
just
Grimes'
not,
wife.
Well, yeah, she can do whatever she wants because she's entertaining. But I mean, just like imagine that in any other walk. Maybe she does, Dave. I don't, you know, I don't follow your wife on social media, but
please
is
don't.
She like constantly?
She's not on Twitter.
Okay, is she like constantly commenting on things that happen here at work?
Nope.
I wouldn't think so.
Nope. We have
unless
we have,
she's brought into it and right. being called a horrible mother or something like that.
We have very strict rules.
Yeah,
when it comes to social media. The problem is if my wife ever gets loose on, and she's not on Twitter, that's my domain.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But on Facebook, if she ever gets loose on that, and I've explained this to her before, it's not that you aren't allowed to have an opinion. It's not that you're not allowed to stand up for me or whatever. If my wife
she's prepared
she's,
for it.
She's what I call a civilian, to for lack of a better term. If she enters into that fray, she becomes
fodder.
She becomes a fodder
right.
and a target.
And
here's
into stuff you don't want to.
Then that's the thing for me. Like, you can listen, you can say whatever you want about me. It's going to roll off. It's fine. That's the business. If it turns to family. Then that's where I get crazy,
right.
And that puts me in a bad spot. So, yeah, that's kind of the understanding. And in the athletic world, it would be the same thing. It's like, listen, you're allowed to have an opinion. I'm not your boss.
Yeah.
But please.
When your opinion starts coming back on me
right.
and I start facing retribution at work, that's...
Yeah.
I can handle, you know, again, if I'm a professional athlete, if I'm Wade or Durant or whoever, I can handle the haters all over me. But when somebody is going after my wife, whether they're right or wrong, it's still my wife and the mother of my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to free you. Screw with me, but if you screw with them, that's my weak spot.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you're going to get
I'm
a reaction. From the 44-11-40, by the way, when we're talking about who would you enjoy... Who would you like to win the NBA championship? Here's a couple here that make a little bit of sense. From the 916, there's been so much haterism directed at Curry by the old guard NBA elites that the Warriors winning back-to-back titles along with the record 73-win season would be the ultimate poetic justice. That's Chris in Elk Grove. Now, you remember Tracy McGrady saying the NBA is watered down. Let's see what Charles Barkley had to say.
The NBA is watered down. The NBA is the worst I've ever seen it. I think we've got to address with all these young kids coming to the NBA after 1 year. The NBA is definitely watered down. Dan, I've been saying that for the last two or three years.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA is the worst I've ever seen it. It started when we started drafting kids out of high school. Now we're drafting kids after 1 year of college. And it drives me crazy because they have potential, but they have no idea how to play basketball. So, yeah, I think the NBA, Tracy has a great point, but it's something I've been saying for the last few years. The NBA is the worst I've ever seen it.
He says that every year, and he's always
wrong. Jump shooting team will never win a title.
Yeah, he's always wrong about that. The players are better now, Chuck. They're way better than they were when Tracy McGrady was playing. And then what's his point there? Like, it started when we started drafting guys out of high school, and now we're drafting guys even older. See how it gets worse?
Well, I agree.
Someone make that connection for me?
Right. I agree in the sense that I've never been a fan of guys coming out of high school, and I'm not a fan of them coming out after 1 year. I think it should be at least 2 years, but who am I to say that these kids can't make money or that organizations cannot draft them and develop them. Now, how much is the development? I think the one thing that development has done in doing this is that you're seeing coaches suffer for it because they're going to lose their jobs because their job is to basically babysit these, you know, D'Angelo Russells of the world as they develop into, you know, decent human beings and learn the NBA game. But in the process of doing that, they're not going to be a long-term coach of a team that's developing players. That doesn't happen.
To answer the question, just before we go to break, because we did talk about it, I would like to see Cleveland win. That would be my choice.
You want that story to have a bow on it?
I like the idea of the Warriors winning two in a row in the 70s. That's cool to me. I wouldn't have a problem with that. The Spurs, seeing Tim Duncan win.
Is it because you want the city to have a title?
Yes, more than anything.
Does that have anything to do with your feelings as a Sacramento Kings fan?
Yes. There's a 30 for 30, for example, speaking of things that Sacramento gets screwed on, that's coming out or just came out about Cleveland and how horrific it is to be a sports fan in Cleveland throughout the years. I like and respect LeBron James, but I don't have a poster of him on my wall. But I love the story. You mentioned the bow on the whole thing. Kid from Akron leaves, comes back, and leads Cleveland to their first ever championship. That to me, I don't think LeBron has that many years and that many chances left. I'd like to see that because Cleveland's never gotten one. And then just behind that, San Antonio. So Tim Duncan, if somebody's on the text line, can send a fax saying, good win, I'm retired.
Yeah, that would be a nice way to go out.
Let's get your guys.
Pick either of those teams.
Really?
Either of them.
Well, we'll find out who they pick next. And also we'll get Jack Del Rio on the Raiders potentially moving to Las Vegas. We'll wrap everything up next. Plus tickets to go see the all-time stolen base leader, Pete Rose, at the Sacramento Sports Collector Show this weekend. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. Jason Ross, I love you. I love you as much as I could possibly love another co-host.
Another man.
Every time I hear them talking, that little clip from their show when they were talking about the high school basketball player in Canada that found out that he's, what, 35?
The coach is his son.
Oh, my God. It's so. If you don't know Jason personally, I don't know as a listener what it's like, but he is so incredibly funny.
He's a comedy ninja.
Yeah, I was just going to say, he's kind of a ninja.
In and out.
He sneaks in and out, boom, that's it, done.
Even took them a moment to realize what he said.
Yeah.
And then it sunk in, and it was
he puts little bombs in your brain, and they go off 5 seconds later. It's the funniest thing ever. Hey, join KHDK for UFC 198, the Saturday draft inside Arena Softball, 8288 Industrial Avenue in Roseville. There will be great food and drink specials. Enjoy free batting cages and field play. So you get in, you get the fight, you get free batting cages, you get to play on the field all for $10. For more information, visit arenasoftball.com. By the way, for those with kids, by the way, I don't take my kids to bars, but this is actually a kid-friendly event. They have it all cordoned off, and they can go play kickball and hit the batting cages and stuff. We talked yesterday about the rumors that the UFC was for sale. Darren Revelle reported it. Dana White told us, no, they are not for sale. And he spoke yesterday to just about every national radio show about the subject.
We're not up for sale. You know, we're always working on deals and our expansion globally. And, you know, I've been saying since this thing came out, no, we're not for sale. But let me tell you what, somebody shows up with $4 billion, we can talk. We can definitely talk.
Here's what's going to happen here. This is my prediction. They're not for sale. What's probably going to happen is much like what happened about 5-6 years ago. They're going to sell. They're looking to expand. They're going to sell a percentage. They did this a few years ago with there was a Sheik somewhere. I think it's called Flash Entertainment's his company. They sold 10% of the UFC. And that was part of their big expansion to Abu Dhabi, the Middle East, all that. They're looking at China now. That would make sense to me that they're not for sale, but they're going to sell off a tiny bit.
Do you blame Conor McGregor because of all the money that they had to spend on the press conference that he didn't come to, and so now they have to sell a percentage?
Yes, they need the cash.
Didn't hurt the value of those shares at all either, I'm sure. Yeah.
Who do you want to see win the title, Nate?
I want it to be Oklahoma City.
I understand that.
And it's, you know, part of it's the small town. Kind of want to see Durant and Westbrook get their due. But the simplest part for me is that Russell Westbrook is one of my favorite, if not my favorite, players to watch in the NBA because he's so charismatic. I think they would be the most fun to watch win a title because that dude's head is going to blow off of his shoulders in any big game. I mean, he's just... He's just the type of player that you're drawn towards. Everything he does is with energy. And when he pumps his fist, it makes me want to pump my fist. And to see that happen in like a big finals game with them clinching, that's what I want to witness. I want to be one with Russell Westbrook, with the supernova.
Katie, before we get your pick, let me piggyback on that. I'll ask both of you this question. You're an Oklahoma City fan. You live in Oklahoma City. This is the pride thing about it. It's like Sacramento. There's nothing else. It's Oklahoma, right? Oklahoma Sooners football.
There's tornadoes.
Yeah, there's that. But you're not putting on a tornado jersey and rooting for it. So I'm going to give you a choice. Oklahoma City can win the title this year, but Kevin Durant
leaves and lose Durant.
Or they don't win this year, Durant stays, but there's absolutely no guarantee they'll ever win a title.
Taking the title.
Katie?
Yeah, you have to take the title.
I 100%.
Those are hard to come by.
But, absolutely.
Russell Westbrook is one of those players that you love him and you hate him at the mm-hmm. same time, because I love so much about his game, but I hate his game at the same time. But I'm going to be the woman in this conversation, because we all know that women are indecisive.
You're so
right?
emotional.
So I'm going to own this. I'm indecisive.
Yeah, please.
I would not. I can make an argument for why I'd like to see each one of those four teams mentioned win.
Right,
there is an argument for each one of them.
Of course there is.
And
but which one do you want?
Much like I can't decide what I want for dinner, I can't decide which one. This is something I have to think about and ponder on for a while.
Katie, I have your dogs hostage at my house right now. You're never going to see little cute Ella or Misha again if you don't pick.
I'd probably say Oklahoma City, too, then.
That's the team.
If I had to pick right now.
Right now. Not who you think, who you would enjoy the most.
But I can make an argument for each, and that's what I like to do is make arguments.
Russell Westbrook has the most infectious energy of everyone else that's left. And then it would also kind of justify the Westbrook Durant combo. Never again would we have to hear, can you have two true who's the real superstar? Yeah. Who cares? They got a ring. It's over.
Kobe.
It's done.
And it's almost
with
worth
Durant
it.
Durant and his, weeping, you the real MVP. All of that stuff. That needs to happen.
It's almost worth it for me just to see what the hell Westbrook wears throughout the rest of the playoffs.
Lord.
That too.
Like, he came looking like something from Flashdance the other day.
You're getting to a decision here, Katie, and I love it.
Katie says Oklahoma City. I say Cleveland. Hell was that?
And I turned off my mic. I'm sorry.
Jesus.
Violent.
Katie exploded. Zach, who do you want to win the NBA title?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
I got OKC winning. The only reason I really, really want to see them win, though, is because of the whole Kevin Durant free agency thing going on after that. If he's going to, choose to stay there, get a little bit more money. But,
it's
really going to
make it interesting, right? Yeah.
Exactly. But I also got another opinion on Charles Barkley. This guy is a freaking idiot. He gets on the NCAA tournament during the Sweet 16 and after that, and he's saying that it's the most entertaining basketball that he's ever seen. Like, these guys are great. And then when a year later they come into the NBA, he doesn't want to see him at all. So, he needs to make up his mind.
He likes to see him in the college setting. Now, in all fairness, college basketball is much, much different. And you, like, basketball purists kind of prefer the NCAA over the NBA because it is more team-oriented. It's more fundamental, like all those things. And you know what? Chuck is my guy. I love him, but he says some of the stupidest stuff. And you know what? The greatest thing about him is what you see is what you get. So you could go up to him in public and say, hey, you're an idiot, and he will have the conversation with you. He is just who he is. You can disagree with him or agree, like him or not. It doesn't matter. It is what you get.
Ken, what do you think?
Hello? Yeah, go ahead, Ken. Okay. I think that the Warriors are going to win. They've been the best team all season. I think they'll continue to be the best thing. The other thing is, Tracy McGrady and all these old guys, when I hear them make statements like that, I question their intelligence. And the reason why I question their intelligence is this. They're so used to looking at guys like Michael and LeBron, who are great athletes, that they're overcome with their athletic ability and athletic power. Steph Curry does what he does based on athletic skill. It's to shoot a basketball is basically a skill. It is a developed skill that is done with years and years of nurturing and practice. And I don't think if you can't view this and understand it, I think it's about your intelligence, because you don't understand what you're seeing. And I think that's a reason for some of the backlash. The final thing I want to say is, guys, I've been listening to you all morning. You've been giving each other the blues about mispronouncing or misnaming somebody. Somebody called Pete Rose this morning Johnny Hustle.
Yes,
that was a joke.
His name was Charlie Hustle.
Ken, that was
we talked about it later. You must have missed it.
Me calling Pete Rose the home run king, not a joke. That was a brain fart. Nate calling him Johnny Hustle, that's an old joke that goes back to the old night show. Real quick, Jack Del Rio spoke yesterday on the Oakland Raiders potentially moving to Las Vegas.
Anything that happens in the future will not be a part of what we're doing right now. So really for us, we put the blinders on, you know. There's obviously talk and speculation and all that, but we have so much to work on right now.
Let's hear it.
Anything that happens in the future will not be a part of what we're doing right now. So we put the blinders on, you know.
Blinders.
There's obviously talk and speculation and all that, but we have so much to work on right now. Being a good football team and coming together and all those things, you know, all of my focus is there.
I mean,
this is why sometimes you let, you know, people like the owner or the general manager.
I know it's what he's saying.
I know, that's it. Like, I'm just such a bitchy, nitpicky person.
Yes, you are.
Lose the entire message because he says, hey, anything that happens in the future doesn't affect us in the present.
At least he didn't call the Raiders the Giants
or doesn't
something.
Have anything to do with right now right. or something.
11th caller, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140 gets 4 tickets to the Sacramento Sports Collectors Show. That's this Saturday at McClellan Conference Center, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Collect memorabilia and meet sports stars, including home run king Pete Rose. Get your tickets at sacsportsshow.com. You know, they used to call him Johnny Hustle.
I heard that. I guess we're going to have to retire that one.
Sure did. All right, that
Ken,
is it.
Ken's my guy, too.
Ken is your guy. I know. Yeah. You got to explain everything, Nate. So, Katie and I don't have to always clean up after you.
Yeah, I'm tired of cleaning up after you,
Ken,
Dave.
Ken is a Weed High School graduate.
Hey,
called
Weed.
Me up and knew,
like
my, knew my dad. He goes, hey, are you in, you know, so-and-so's kids? Like, yeah,
I'm familiar with Weed High School.
I'll bet you
Did
are.
Did some damage there.
I bet you're familiar with Weed High School.
Oh, good Lord.
It's
you're so ill-advised.
It's elevated. That's it for Jay Behind the Glass. For Nate Goodyear, Katie Christensen, I'm Carmichael
Dave. And all of those Weed High School graduates.
Uh-huh.
We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Jim Rome's next. It's Sports 1140 KHDK.